welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. I'm here today with our tech guru and producer, Brian Sant.
Who, me?
Who, you? Yes, you.
Moi?
Yes. Oh, we'll get to that. Let's do the meeting announcements. We'll just jump right in.
Oh, my God. We're going to jump right into this.
Jumping right in here. All meetings start at 7 p.m. and end at 8:30 p.m. and are free and open to the public and the disinterested to attend. First meeting up at BAT is going to be April 17th. That's the Northwest Division, headed up by myself. That is in the Community Center in Hackettstown, located at 293 Main Street in the Blue Room. Then we have April 26th, the Northeast Division, headed up by Laura Lindemann, team leader. And that's in the Bogota Recreation Center, located at 162 West Main Street in Bogota. And then the Central Jersey Division, headed up by team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish. That's in the Hazlitt Library, located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. I should say a little shout out to Greg Irish. Congratulations on feeling better. He had that really serious back surgery. I did get an email from him the other day, and I mean, he's got still a ways to go, granted, for full recovery.
But perhaps when you bend over backwards.
But seriously, he's really doing pretty well, and I was very pleased and happy to hear that. And we're still keeping him in our prayers and sending out a shout out to him and saying hello. Okay, so we got all that crap done.
Good.
Time for our useless banter.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Yeah. So how was your Easter weekend?
Pretty uneventful.
Really?
Didn't do anything. I showed the family Magnificent Obsessions DVD.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they chided me, ribbed on me.
Well, now you did a really good job in that. When Dina saw it at the Northwest Division meeting, she thought you were great.
It's family.
Oh, okay.
You know,
they're just having a biological entitlement to...
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. We're all sitting at the dinner table. Oh, and our Easter dinner was homemade ravioli. Don't ask why. It's a other side of the family tradition.
For Easter? I thought the traditional was like leg lamb or...
They're all Italian.
Oh, okay.
But one of my stepbrothers brought his new girlfriend in there, so... My father says, oh, so what's your background? She's like, oh, I'm Polish. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Both guns got pulled out. That's all I have to say about that.
No. Why? Did they make fun of her for being Polish?
Of course.
Why?
Because that's what we do.
Oh, okay.
My sister's fiancé, when she brought him around, she actually gave us the advance warning. She said, I'm bringing him around. He's Polish. You don't say anything. Of course, that's the worst thing to tell us. But we did tell him, say, okay, you know what? You're not the new one anymore, so we're not going to pick on you as much.
Oh, well, that's good. I remember my first husband looked at me when we were first dating. He's like, Vladek? What the hell kind of name is that? And I'm like, it's Czechoslovakian. He's like, Czecho what? I'm like, Czechoslovakian. He goes, God. There's not even an ethnic slur for you. I'm like, aw, sorry to disappoint you, you know? Over the years, I've come to find out that there is, actually. They will call to be mean to a Czech, you will call them something like a hanky or something.
And I'm like, well, my father likes
I have
to
no
say,
idea what that means.
Why are all Polish names end in ski?
Why?
Because they can't spell toboggan.
See, my grandfather would have loved your father. He was like 100% Czech, and Czechs and Poles are always forget it. Opposite ends of the church there, you know, it's like pretty funny. But, oh, wow. But, yeah, so, I mean, luckily, you know, for the most part, it was so funny growing up, people always say, you're Irish, right? I'm like, no, Czech, no. You know, I thought I was just like 100% Czechoslovakian descent, given my mother and father, both their families, you know. And it wasn't until later on in life, my grandmother, my father's mother, came on the scene. She had run this whole genealogical report and found out, you know, got pictures tracing. My father basically has his great-great-grandma Rose, who's 100% Mohawk Indian. She traced it all the way back to the one part of her family coming over here via the bastard brother of Louis the 14th or something, who was exiled. He came over to the United States, so we have, like, some French. And her name, her maiden name was Nolan, so she had Irish roots, so it's like... And I was like, there's the Irish, I don't believe it. All my life people ask me, are you Irish? And I'm like, no, no, no. And finally, I come to find out, yep, there it is, so you never
know. Son of a bitch, there it is.
There, that explains it. But, you know, anyway. So, well, I'm glad you, but you had a good time, though. They enjoyed the show, Magnificent Obsessions.
Oh, they loved it. Oh, they said the quality was awesome. I emailed Robin and told her that, you know, everyone loved the quality of the show. They said it was excellent.
I should do that and let her know that, yeah, because when I showed it at the meeting, we got great feedback. Dina was like, this is the first show I've seen where it really shows what we do and how it's done.
Yep.
Robin did a great job just, like, keeping it. True to
form.
Keeping
it flowing, too.
Yeah, and it flows, and it's pieced together. I mean, her editors are geniuses, I gotta say. Because that was 2 days worth of... that's a massive amount of media and stuff. Well, and they put it together, it just... boom.
They're the only people who know what we go through.
Yeah. That's true. But, well... and now I've got to pull together all kinds of a media kit. But I'll get to that. Oh, so let me do some follow-up here. Uh-oh. Sticking to plan. I guess, I don't know if it was last week's show. Remember we were talking about the monsters and we talked about the Jersey Devil. And
yep.
I said, oh, what was that actor who had the battery on his shoulder and it was Duracell and da-da-da-da-da and you thought I was nuts? Well, I looked it up on the internet. I was wrong in saying...
everyone realize this. This is recorded. She's saying she's wrong.
I was wrong. I was envisioning the battery guy. And unfortunately, his name... well, not unfortunate for him. His name is Robert Conrad, the actor. And the battery was really Eveready. It wasn't Duracell. And I found out that it wasn't Bob Conrad in The 13th Child, which was the name of the movie made about the Jersey Devil. It was actually Cliff Robertson, who played the uncle to Spider-Man in the movies.
So basically, you shouldn't talk anymore.
But, you know, I mean, the brain's a little scrambled, a little foggy, but hey.
Little?
Come on. But at least I got... oh, come on. How many people... that's an obscure commercial in today's standards. For me to remember the battery on the shoulder and to go on, knock it off, I dare you. That's pretty amazing for someone with really bad memory skills.
Yeah, she can't remember what she did yesterday, but she can remember a commercial 100 years ago with a battery on her shoulder.
So anyway, it was Robert Conrad, and the battery was Eveready, and the actor in The 13th Child was Cliff Robertson. And I always used to confuse Cliff Robertson and Robert Conrad. They kind of look alike. They really do.
Yep.
And they're like those kind of actors that when you see them next to each other, you could tell them apart. But, you know, you see them in different places, you're like, oh, that's that Cliff guy or that Bob guy, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway. All righty. Moving on to our international story. Yes, you heard it, the Marseillaise. That is because this coming weekend, on April 14th, a news crew will be flying in from Gay Paris to meet us, Brian and Laura, and two other New Jersey Ghost Hunter members who are going to be certified as paranormal investigators at Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's right, they are coming all the way over from France to film us. Now, this journalist got in touch with me through email. And she has told me that over in France, it's not a big deal. Nobody even, they don't even talk about ghost hunting and investigating. So we are going to be like the real groundbreakers for them. They're going to watch these crazy Americans running around in beat up old prisons and go, oh, c'est américain, you know?
Give me some French fries.
C'est très bête. Anyway, they're probably going to get a real hoot out of this. But, yeah, she told me that she was fascinated when she looked on the website and she saw the show. She says, is there any way, she sends me this email, any way you could be connected and get me in touch with Jason and Grant from Ghost Hunters? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, they're right in my BlackBerry. Let me just look them up for you. Not.
Say if you want to downgrade, sure, you know. No.
I was like, lady, you know, they won't even return an email to me, let alone me call them or anything. But so that's when I had to politely explain to her that they're like on this whole level, you know, like it's like they're like gods in this country among ghost hunters to some degree because of the media and their show. And I know, Brian. So, you know, and I told her, I did tell her, I said they have an agent that represents them. So as far as I know, it would be quite expensive for you to just get... it's not like us, where you can just email us, well, all right, you know, we'll drive 2 hours out of our way.
Just buy us dinner.
You know, I doubt we'll even see that, you know.
We should.
Maybe we should get a croissant or a baguette.
or a Zorba. Ooh. Jeez, I don't know. Zorba's twice in a month. Ugh.
Oh, it'll kill you, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm going to... I'm going to definitely pick up some Zorbas and leave it in the car so when I'm done filming and I go back to the hotel, I can pig out with the kids, you know?
Heck, I might do it while they're filming.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, well this will be good. They wanted us to show how we train. So we've got those two people because we didn't have enough to make a foursome. So this is allowing us to train these two people, and that way the news crew can get down that facet of training. Mm-hmm. They get to interview you, interview me, so they get that whole spiel. They get to be in a haunted prison, you know, probably the most haunted prison in the United States. And then the next day, they're going to follow me and the kids up to Spy House. And granted, we can't go in it, but I explained that to her. I said, but the grounds themselves have a lot of history and right. hauntedness, right. and she can scoff the EVPs and stuff off our website. And Gregory and Sherry Irish are going to come down and meet us there. I think Alan Wolf and the woman whose house they investigated in March, she and her whole family, they were going out to Lancaster for the next week, and she's like, my daughter's begging me, do it, Mommy, do it. So, you know, she said, all right, screw it. We're going to cancel our reservations in Lancaster and hang out, and they're going to come out on Sunday to be interviewed because the news person said she wanted to interview a family right. whose house we investigated. So I've got the family for, I've got the team leader, Alan Wolf, I've got Gregory and Sherry Irish, more team leaders from the, you know, from the organization. So she'll get a really good cross-section. I think it'll, you know, she's getting a lot of bang for the buck to cram that much in the weekend, you know.
Yeah, next I think they should invite us out there.
Yeah, we could go in the catacombs in Paris that Jeff was talking about. That would be cool. Well, we'll see. Like she said to me, this is not even thought of over there. So this is going to be quite a news story for them. You know, I'm sure the French are going to sit back and scratch their heads with their baguettes and go, what the hell? You know,
or scratch something else.
Oh, did I ever tell you how I went there when I was 17? It was a bunch of schools collaborated and we raised our money and got to go to France. It was over Easter, too. It was like a week and a half in April. And while we were there, the one Sunday was Easter Sunday. And at that point, 93% of the French population was Catholic, Roman Catholic. So it was like everything just came to a screeching halt on Easter Sunday. And it was like the teachers are like, I don't care if you're Catholic or not. We're going to church, you know, because it was just like we didn't want to get stoned or something, you know, in that country because it was just like the thing to do. I mean, I was Catholic at the time anyway. I'm recovering now. But we went. So it's like, but I'll never forget when we got to Paris and they thought they were doing us students a favor by switching our hotel. We were supposed to be in a beautiful hotel on the outskirts of Paris, and that way they would bus us in each day for the activities that we were supposed to do. But no, they said, we found a hotel smack dab in the middle of Paris, and you'll be able to get to everything mostly on foot and through the metro. Okay, fine. As we pile into the seedy little hotel lobby, all of us girls, we're standing over in the one area, and there's this big picture window, and the teachers are up at the front desk trying to, in French, to explain to this guy, like, we can't be in this hotel. There must be some mistake. Meanwhile, my one friend goes, ew! And we look over, and at the picture window, there's like three French boys, like teenage boys, pressed up against the glass. They were licking the glass and grabbing themselves and pointing at which of the girls they wanted to be. And we're like, you know, whether you speak French or not, you can totally understand what they were saying. And we're like, oh my God. So then our French teacher comes out and she's like, who here wants their parents notified of this hotel change and everything? I'm like, me, you know, because I know my father grilled into my head, don't ever leave the house without leaving a name and number of where you're at. So I figured I damn well better tell him this is where they moved my hotel. So it was in such a bad area of Paris that they actually positioned each girl's room. We had a room of boys on either side, and we were instructed about that. Get to know the boys on either side of you, because if there's a problem, you run to either one of their rooms and get them to help you.
Right.
That's how bad it was. And a week after I was home, a letter arrived advising my parents that my hotel had been changed. How good was that? So they never even knew. Anyway, so I haven't been back to France since. I would like to go, but I know, especially now knowing like what Jeff Belanger talked about with the catacombs, I would definitely like to check that out. Anyway, So that's that. We will be filming with a French news crew. And, April 29th, I will be on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter radio show podcast. And you can get the link to their show from our links page. And it's also, I put a link up on our Deadline page. And the show airs Sundays from 9 to 10, Eastern Time or Eastern Daylight Time, depending where you are. Nathan Schoonover is Demon Hunter. He's the co-host of the show, and he's a certified paranormal investigator through the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. He's also a member of the NJGHS. And he will be at Ghost World Conference this July, so people can check him out and meet him then and there. He's, like, famous now, you know.
Not as famous as us, but he's famous.
No, he's more famous, actually. I found out when I was when I was talking to him Friday night to set all this up. He started out as a news correspondent for Ghostly Talk. You know, Scott L. and Doug, those guys from Ghostly Talk. And their show, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, is kind of like a little spinoff of that. So, and I listened to part of it last night. It airs on Sunday nights. I was so tired that I couldn't listen to all of it. But I did hear the part about the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland and about how it's really haunted. I'm like, psyched. Because I'm hoping to take the kids to California this summer. So I was like, oh. They'll be, like, enjoying the ride, and I'll be sitting there with my little camera phone trying to take some pictures. <you know? laughs> So I'll be on April 29th. He said the show runs from 9 to 10. I'll probably start on the show around 9:30. It's a call-in thing, too, so people can call into the show. In fact, the way they have it set up, he's in Connecticut. Nathan's in Connecticut. His partner, Ghostman Sean, he's in Indiana. So can you imagine? We have all we can do to do our podcast, like driving and sitting under the same roof. I don't know how they're managing doing a live show, call-in show, and they're in two different states.
It's easy.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a phone. One person has the equipment, and there's a phone that's hooked into the board. And there you go.
Yeah, but I listened to it, and it sounded pretty good. I mean, it didn't really... I was expecting it to sound very tinny and stuff from being a phone call, but it was pretty good.
And now with the internet too, makes everything a lot easier.
Yeah, I was hearing about them complaining about that on Hometown Tales about the Skype shows. People, I guess, are using Skype to do their shows. I'm like, why would you? That Skype is miserable. My one friend would use it. I wanted to choke him. I'm like, it sounds like crap, you know. I'm like, just get a real phone, you know. I mean, cell phones are like a dime a dozen nowadays. You know, what would you? Anyway, all right. So we're gonna go to commercial break.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Happy haunting.
Hey, we have a new contest. Now's your chance to win admission to the Ghost World Conference. You can attend the Ghost World Conference in July at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. All you have to do is record yourself telling or reading your favorite ghost story or experience. This can be from a published work or from one of your own investigations. Now, you can be as dramatic and creative as you want. In fact, the more the better. We're not looking for the humdrum read here, people. Come on, it's a podcast after all. We need the story to come alive for the listeners. You're not allowed to make up a ghost story or experience. Again, you can tell one that you sincerely experienced or one that is published in a book or article somewhere that you claim is your favorite of all time. Don't worry if we receive the same story from more than one person. Again, your creative and dramatic approach to the telling of the story is what will win you the votes. That's right, votes. In keeping with the American Idol approach, we will let our listeners decide on whose story and its telling is the best, and therefore who deserves to go to Ghost World Conference. Submit your recording no later than May 15, 2072, the deadline, at njghs.net. If the file is too big to email, then burn it off to a CD and snail mail it to The Deadline, P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey 07054. Brian and I will review these recordings and play them on the show as well. We will narrow it down to the top five and place those recordings on the Deadline page of the NJGHS website for voting.
The voting will be from June 1st to 15th, and the winner announced on the June 22nd podcast. In addition to admission to the Ghost World Conference, the winner will receive an NJGHS gift basket, including a bumper sticker, t-shirt, baseball hat, and an autographed copy of The Ghosts of Gettysburg by Mark Nesbitt. Winner is responsible for all costs. This is including travel, lodging, meals, expenses incurred while at the conference. Basically, we get you there, people. That's it. Okay. A room will be held at the Ghost World Conference rate of $119 at the Wyndham Gateway Gettysburg, but the winner is responsible for payment of this cost. Even if you have already registered for the conference, you may enter this contest. If you win, your registration fee will be refunded to you by the NJGHS, and you will get the basket of goodies as specified prior. So get to it. Record your MP3 or WAV file and email it or snail mail it to the deadline. All these details will be on the NJGHS.net website. Good luck.
The largest and most comprehensive ghost conference the paranormal world has ever seen is coming to Gettysburg July 20th to 22nd, 2007 at the newly constructed Wyndham Gettysburg Hotel and Conference Center. At this supernatural summit, it will be close to 3,000 square feet of space where the paranormal community will come together toward excellence in the field of study as well as establish standards and protocols in the science of supernatural research. Best-selling authors and paranormal presenters include John Zaffis, Mark Skuerman, Mark Moran, Jeff Belanger, Charles Ammons III, Troy Taylor, and Vince Wilson. Special event co-hosts will be none other than Mark Nesbitt, author of the Ghost of Gettysburg series. Ghost hunters, be prepared to shop the largest paranormal trade show with vendors of ghost hunting gear, authors and books, and other fascinating otherworldly goods. Register for one of the intensive workshops, take a ghost tour with Mark Nesbitt aboard a train, or tune into the dead with Jane Doherty, psychic medium. All details are at the Ghost World Conference website at www.ghostworldconference.com. Register online at the site www.ghostworldconference.com with PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, or e-check. Group discounts available for groups of 10 or more. Please email info@ghostworldconference.com for details. All sales are final. Ghost World Conference is a production of Ghost World LLC with sponsorship by X-Zone Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the deadline. We would normally be doing parashares right now. Well, actually, it's more normal that we don't, since no one ever sends them in.
Losers.
However, I should tell you, in my journey across the web today, I discovered the perfect reason and explanation as to why we are not getting parashares.
They're deadbeats?
No, sloths.
Ah, okay.
Now, sloths, I forget where they're indigenous to, what if it's South America or what have you. But sloths are mammals. Yeah. Sloths are mammals. There's a two-toe and a three-toe sloth. Their toes are like these really cool claws that are really long, perfectly designed because a sloth hangs from a tree branch 15 to 18 hours a day. And then when he's really tired, he climbs up into the top of the palms and really goes to sleep. Otherwise, he just hangs there. Their fur actually grows in the opposite direction as most mammals. Most mammals' fur grows towards their extremities to keep their arms and legs warm. But because the sloth is always hanging upside down, his fur grows towards his body to keep his body warm. And their body temperature is lower because they hardly move. Now, I thought about it. I said, you know, this could explain the problem we have with our listening audience not rendering parashares. They could actually be writing them, Brian, but they are in sloth mode. They are moving slow like a sloth, and therefore it's taking forever to type up the email and hit send. Did you know a sloth moves at 0.5 to 1 foot per minute?
Okay.
That's not that fast, okay? When they're in imminent danger, they can do 15 feet in a minute. It's like very slow.
All right, you all are in imminent danger.
Yeah, start cranking out.
I have your addresses.
Yep. Yeah, I will be dispensing some Brian to your house. So, people, I understand if you're falling victim to being a sloth.
Get out of the tree.
You know, and you know, another interesting thing about the sloth, its stomach has four compartments because apparently they're hanging there and they eat
They eat bugs if they present themselves, but mostly they eat these leaves, and the leaves are really not something they should be eating, but it's because they're hanging there and they're too lazy to go and get anything else. They eat them, and they're very hard to digest, so their stomach has four compartments. It can take up to a month for the sloth's digestive system to actually process one meal. And they said their body temperature goes even lower when they're actually asleep, but normally it's around 85 degrees Fahrenheit. They just don't move, very slow. So, people, I'm even going to put a picture of one on the Deadline page. So, you know, if you see the picture and you identify with it and you just say, you know what, that's it, I have sloth disease, and that's why I'm, you know, if you're having a hard time typing the PowerShare because you're a sloth and you're moving too slowly, if you can at least dial the phone, you know, you can call me and give me your PowerShare. You can even remain anonymous. And then I will relay it for you. How's that?
Well, I have a feeling your phone's not going to be ringing.
Yeah. Well, I do have eVoice, and it's 908-325-0140. So give a call. Okay. Now, moving on. Now that you've had your little mammal history lesson, it's time for News of the Weird. Okay. Fire officials in Crystal River, Florida, stopped the planned performance in January of Jesse Aviles, the human bomb, who was set to lie face down across two bar stools at the Orr House Restaurant. I did it. Woohoo! The performance was canceled for lack of permits. City manager Andrew Houston asked by the St. Petersburg Times what kind of permits might be necessary for a person to be exploded from a bar stool, said, "I have no earthly idea." Now, where do you find that form? The no earthly idea form?
There's probably one.
Yeah. Now, on the police blotter, a woman in Bozeman, Montana, complained in March of strange noises coming from underneath her house, being made by people from the underworld. She told police that her house had been replaced in the middle of the night and that the original was being stored at an undisclosed location. Yeah, they're out there. If they're not driving on Route 80 in New Jersey, they're out in Montana complaining about things under their house. Oh, yeah. Super charismatic Stacy Finley, age 34, pleaded guilty in January in Shreveport, Louisiana, to defrauding 22 middle-class victims by somehow convincing them to pay a total of $989,000 to have medical scans done of their bodies by overhead satellite and to be administered secret therapeutic drugs while they slept by CIA agents who would sneak into their homes.
What, you don't know, believe it?
You got it. It's like, you're reading this and you're going, you know, people can't be that stupid. They just can't. And you would pay your hard-earned money thinking a satellite is going to scan you from outer space and a CIA agent is going to sneak into your home and give you the secret drugs.
They're going to take you to the Orr House.
Oh, mama. Okay. Sacramento, California veterinarian Bert Brooks told a KOVR TV reporter in February that he had a record of curing pets by having, oh, this is great, by having them stare at a computer monitor showing psychedelic images. He calls it harmonic translation. "I didn't learn this in vet school," he told the reporter, "but there's a lot going on in the universe that we don't understand today." But will it cure the tainted pet food ills of our beloved pets? Now, that was a true thing. All these pets dropping dead from, first they thought it was rat poison, and they found out it was the contaminated plastic. And all you had to do was stick your contaminated pet in front of your computer and put on, you know, like, media player with a song and let them stare at the little psychedelic image. They'd be cured. Oh, yeah.
Oh, a magic carpet ride.
In Pittsburgh in February, Antoine Williams, 45, who police said was in the act of consummating a drug sale, reached into a customer's car to prevent him from driving away without paying. But got stuck in the window, and as the customer sped down the street, William's body was severed cleanly in two by a utility pole. Ew.
How do you sever it cleanly with a utility pole?
With a utility pole? Yeah, come on. Ew. What if he, like, lifted his legs and it went right up the crotch and right through the middle of him? But cleanly?
Yeah.
I could see a cleaver making, like, if you had a gigantic, like, pit in the pendulum kind of cleaver, pendulum, slicey-dicey thing, but, yeah, utility pole. Well, hey. This was where?
Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh. Maybe Pittsburgh has got, like, really sharp
utility poles.
Utility poles. The South Carolina Public Safety Department reported in January that 122 pedestrians were killed on the state's roads in 2006. But almost one-third, according to an Associated Press analysis, weren't actually pedestrians, but people lying illegally in the road. There you go. You know what? I think I'm going to break the law and lay in the road and get run over.
What the hell?
It's a slow day.
Siesta time.
Oh, God. You know, there's a station in New Jersey, 101.5. I don't know if you ever listened to them. I was on them years ago.
Sorry, I don't pick them up out here.
Oh, that's right. You're in PA now. But, well, back in Jersey, it's 101.5. And I was on them a couple years ago for, like, Halloween and stuff with David Allen Stein. And in yesterday's Star Ledger, the cover article was on these two guys that are on in the afternoon drive time on weekdays called Carton and Rossi, and it was primarily about Craig Carton, who apparently is 38 years old, married, three kids, excuse me, Jewish, he's a Howard Stern disciple, and I guess he's really kicking up a lot of dust in the talk radio area in New Jersey, and now they have a hell of a lot of attention being paid to them and stuff. But I don't know. You know, after reading all these news of the weird things, I don't know. Like,
so what was the point of that?
I don't know. I was thinking of him for some reason to tell you about him, but anyway. So yeah, I can't. It totally escapes me now. But
she can remember a freaking battery on the shoulder. 25 years ago, but...
But anyway, so this guy apparently is... Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what it was. Because you said the siesta thing, lying in the road in siesta, and it made me think about what he started this whole campaign, which is called La Cucha Gacha. And the whole Hispanic community is up in arms saying it's, like, really very close to saying La Cucaracha, which is calling them cockroaches. And his La Cucha Gacha campaign was to raise awareness about illegal immigrants. And, you know, he said he can't help the fact that 75% of them are Latino, you know, so that's why he came up with the name La Cucha Gacha, which I thought was pretty creative and cute. You know, I gave him kudos for that. But anyway, so that stirred up a lot of controversy, and it reminded me when you said, you know, taking a siesta in the road, I thought of him and that whole program of his. But that was the connection, see?
Talk about going off on a tangent.
I know, my mind just kind of like circumvents the universe, and then it comes back to center, and it all works out.
You know? Every 3 or 4 years, it comes back to center.
Oh, yeah. We're on a very long elliptical return here. Okay, commercial.
Hi, I'm Doug of Ghostly Talk, and you're listening to the Deadline Podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Hi, welcome back. It's time for Haunted Trivia. This is where we test your brain skills here for the paranormal. Now, last week you were asked, what famous literary work does the term gremlin first appear? We had a couple people shoot in some answers. They were wrong, but they were really good tries nonetheless. The answer is Grimm's Fairy Tales. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Well, of course you had the answer in front of you. Anyway, this week's Haunted Trivia has a skill level of somewhat challenging. The Hermitage, a beautiful manor estate once belonging to the Rosencrantzes, is located in Hohokus, New Jersey. In 2005, some attendees of the New Jersey Ghost Conference investigated this site and were sworn to secrecy about the location. In fact, one of the investigators captured a full-body apparition at this location, which we think is Mary Elizabeth Rosencrantz, as a young girl.
It's always the freaking newbies.
Yeah, that killed me. Their first night out of the their first time ever holding a camera as a ghost investigator. Well, anyway, as a young girl, because that was her happiest time in her life. I don't know if you know this, but most ghosts, they usually, if they're going to show up, they usually pick at a time when they were happiest and healthiest. Anyway, Channel 9 News wanted to tag along with the NJGHS that night, and I had to decline as we were not allowed to disclose the location. Okay, so now you know where we went in 2005. But can you be the first person to correctly identify three historic people attached to this property? And not attached in ghostly form, I should qualify that. Attached in terms of they were there. They had been to this property. And I'll give you a hint. There's a total of six famous gents, but you only need to name three. Be the first person to email the correct answer to hauntedtrivia@njghs.net. And you'll win the Junior Ghost Hunters t-shirt. Okay. Now, let's remind people. You're down to the wire here. April 15th is the last day to register at the $115 per person price for Ghost World Conference. After that, it goes up to $130. And after June 15th, can't register online anymore, people. Which reminds me, people, please, go to the Ghost World Conference site. And you'll see right on the homepage where to click and submit your nominations for the Paranormal 2006 Paranormal Awards. Okay? This is going to take place on Sunday, July 22nd, out in Gettysburg. Mark and Mark of Weird NJ are the hosts of the Paranormal Awards. So come on, don't let them down. I have seen some nominations come through. In fact, The Deadline has been nominated as one of the best,
woohoo,
you know, media things for 2006, which...
Vote for us or I'll kill you.
Now, granted, I can't nominate and I can't vote because I'm one of the Ghost World people.
I can.
You know what? If we get enough... I thought about it. I thought, you know what? If Jeff's podcast or his website gets nominated or Vince's book, we should honor that because there are other people nominated. It's not like we nominated ourselves, right? I just could see where we can't be allowed to vote for ourselves, so...
Finally, I get to do something here.
Yeah, so we're not going to vote at all, but really, people, send in your nominations, please. It's very easy. You click on it. It just walks you through the five different categories, and just name which one you like best, whether it was your favorite, you know, book, your show, what have you. It prompts you through all of that, so fill it in and send it in so I can... You only have until May 15th, and after that, I have to then take all the nominations and take the top five of each category, and then the voting will start May 21st to June 15th. So, please send in your nominations, and don't forget the, after June 15th, you can't register online for Ghost World. You will have to pay $150 at the door, so it's better to get in there now while you can. And the buddy rate for $85 for an NJGHS member for Ghost World is going to expire on April 30th, so make sure you email me, laurah@njghs.net, so I can verify your membership and send you the secret link to register online. Okay. Anything else, Brian?
No. I think you pretty much covered it all.
Okay. So stay tuned to the New Jersey Ghost Hunters website. It's located at www.njghs.net. And while you're there, sign up for our Yahoo group so you get the latest and greatest info.
And you can also PayPal right from the homepage if you would like lifetime membership for $20 in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. You have to be a member in order to participate in any of our investigations or cemetery hunts. And if you're a member, you get the discounted rate to go to the Fort Mifflin event in August that we're having, which you can also sign up from.
Yeah, I guess I'll pay for that.
I'll comp you.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry about it. Okay. So, thanks again to Brian Sant, the NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king.
And our team leaders, Gregory and Sherry Irish and Laura Lindemann. And as always, Don Slepian, who is the author of our wonderful theme song, Dance of the Dead. You can locate all his kinds of music at donslepian.com. And of course, thanks to you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.